Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, I'm joined by former Ipswich Town midfielder Tommy Hughes, who broke the news on the 1st of January that he was leaving the club after 13 years. Welcome to the show, Tommy.
Thank you for having me.
Has it been a whistle stop last few days for you?
It's been okay, to be fair. Obviously, I announced that I was leaving on the 1st. I've recently signed for a new club, which I'm sure we'll go into later. But yeah, I've just been normal training, a bit of golf here and there. So yeah.
Bit of golf. So 13, 14 years that you've been at Ipswich and being a local lad, trying to work that out. So you joined about 2008, 2009?
Yeah, I believe I was 8. So that would have been 2008. I officially signed in 2008, and then I was training with the under-9s at the time. So my official schoolboy period would have started in 2009 as an under-9.
So that's, you know, a big fan of Roy Keane. That was Roy Keane era. Were you kind of caught up in that? Did you ever speak to him?
Do you know what? I don't remember much about him. I just remember I had one pitch with him watching an under-18 game, and I'm sure he wasn't in a great mood when I went to see him for the picture. Yeah, I had a picture with him. That's all I really remember from them days anyway.
So you said that obviously you kind of like joined the club, you know, sort of it officially. What does that mean, you know, for as a nine-year-old? You know, what does that mean for you and your family, and what sort of commitments did you have to give to the club?
So when I signed, I think you officially signed like a proper contract, whether my mum was part of that or not, I'm not too sure. But I officially signed for, like, I think you signed a 2-year contract. So from 9 to 11, it was kind of like, that's where you're at Ipswich for that time. And then, like, rather than just training a few evenings a week, you'd train like on a set schedule. I think we used to train Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we'd play the games on the Sunday. So it was kind of like not full time. Obviously, we had school and that in the day. But you're a part of like the official program from under nines.
Any names that you played with back then in your sort of your first season that we'd know?
Me and Bailey Clements, we signed on the same day as 8 years old. So we started our schoolboy period together at under nines. Other than that, most of the boys have now, a few of them made it to Scholar as well with us. So like from 17, 18 years, we were still together. But me and Bailey were the ones that stayed around the longest. And Adam Mateo was our first coach. So that was his first year of being a coach, I'm pretty sure. It was his first year, so I think he was really young. He was kind of like the second coach. We had Mickey Banthorpe, who's a really good guy. He's still working at the club now, he does like the door stuff and the stewards stuff at the training ground. But yeah, them two were our coach back then. But yeah, Arden was as boisterous as he is now, I think.
I can imagine. So what other coaches, so, you know, did you have, as you progressed, you know, through the year groups and stuff, what other coaches did you come across?
So under 12s was a really good year. We had Graham Howlett, known as Spike, had him as an under 12, and he was a really good guy, really funny character, but a really good coach as well. Actually, under 11s, I got put on trial. Me and Bailey, funnily enough, got put on trial at the end of under 11s. They wasn't sure if we'd be good enough to progress through the academy. So they put us on a 6-week trial period to come back as an under 12. And I think luckily for both of us, Spike obviously knew about us already and loved us. So I don't even think we lasted the 6-week trial period. After about 2 or 3 weeks, he was like, yeah, we need to keep these lads on. But yeah, we had him under 12s. Jason Dazelle was part of it under 13s. I think we had him. Duncan Wheeler, people like that. Under 15s, we had David Wright, who I believe just gone back to the academy as well. We had him. Obviously, Liam Manning was around then. We actually went to Cayman Islands as under 15. We done a week's trip in Cayman Islands, which was really good. David Wright took us there with Liam Manning. 16s had Adam again. And then 18s, obviously, we had Adam and Kieran. And Alan Lee as well. Alan Lee was under 18. So I've gone through a lot of coaches and seen a lot of players and coaches come and go through my time, yeah.
You have. There's a few things I want to say to you. Jason Dazelle as a coach, I know you were born in 2000. So, but you know, did you realize who he was and you know how, you know, what he was thought of within the town?
Yeah, I knew a lot about him. My family are all Ipswich Town fans, so like my granddad always raved about Jason Dazelle. Obviously, I knew Andre from being 2 years older than me as well. But again, a really good guy, a really good coach, and he loved me as well. So happy days.
It's always good if somebody likes you. And the trip to the Cayman Islands, was that during the summer? I'm just kind of thinking that obviously you played a lot of football in the schedule that you were saying, but don't want to come across as a boring sort of parent. But you know, where was the education and how did that kind of work with East Bergholt and stuff like that?
Yeah, we went to Cayman Islands. I think it was in May time. So we all had to get time off school, and the school were really good about it, to be fair. I think we scored a goal that went worldwide, like on YouTube, as an under 14 against Millwall. We made like a really good move, like 10 pass, something like that. It was a really good goal. And I think the club must have funded it from that or something around that goal got us this trip to Cayman Islands. The school, I think we had to do extra work when we went back to school and before, but yeah, they were really good in letting me go to that. And yeah, that was a great week away.
So coming up to, I'm going to go to April 2018. Mick McCarthy's just left. You're about 17. Brian Clough comes in as caretaker manager. Fantastic 4-0 win away at Reading. Luke Wolfenden, Ben Falami get their first starts. You know, was that positive for you? How did you feel about that with people that, you know, particularly with Luke, you know, that they were getting their chance?
Yeah, I think that was not just for me, but obviously the academy, that was a really good time. Obviously, Mick McCarthy had been brilliant, like with the academy. He'd always come and watch games, training, knew everyone. You'd go in the canteen, he would know every single person's name. So when he left, that was obviously a really bit strange for the club. But then obviously Brian took over as caretaker manager and just kind of trusted in the youth, as they say. And obviously, yeah, you said Ben and Wolfie were involved at Reading. And I think that's just a boost for everyone in the academy to know that going forward, this is the way the club's going to be run. Like pathway is going to be there for young players to progress and play in the first team.
Just to let you know, you have to give me £10 for saying pathways. so going back to Mick. Was it true? Obviously, I heard that, you know, as you said, that he knew everybody, but I also heard that he was a bit of an alpha in and around the ground. What was it like for you as a 17-year-old if Mick went off on one at somebody?
Yeah, you definitely know about it. If he was in the canteen and you was caught on your phone, like that was just the worst thing in the world. So as soon as he walked in the canteen, it was almost like everyone went quiet. He had that presence about him. But yeah, like I said, you'd go and say hello to him and he'd know your name. He'd know everything about you. That was a really good time.
So Paul Hurst then comes in. Did he have much of a conversation with the academy when he joined?
I think he brought everyone into the canteen all together. Like the first team was in there, all the 21s, all the youth team. And he just kind of expressed his like ideas of how he wants to play, not necessarily about how he wants to play, but kind of how he wants people to be around the training ground. So kind of his standards were set straight away. So you knew that you had to be on it, or like he'd be having words with you straight away. So yeah, he done that straight away. And then again, him and Doiga were really involved with the academy. Like I said, watching all the games, all the training sessions, they would come out and take over some of the training sessions about how they wanted to play and their philosophy of football. Yeah, he had a real big involvement for the short time he was here with the academy.
So 2018-19, we've got a new manager. Arda Mate is the coach. KD's his assistant. I kind of want you to kind of explain this season to me, because, you know, for a lot of fans, it is about the first team, and it's important that we have, you know, players that, you know, our own players, one of our own coming in and finding a route to the first team. But I don't quite understand. You played, I think, in 18-19, you played a mix of under-18s, you made under-23s, you were on loan to Lowestoft and stuff like that. How did you manage that? How was that all scheduled in? And who was in charge of where you would play for what team, etc.?
Yeah, obviously, like you said, Adam and Kieran were the main under-18 managers at the time. So it was kind of up to them where I'd be involved for that period. And I believe that year we had a really good run in the FA Youth Cup. I think we got to the fifth round, lost to Watford in the end. But we had a really good team then. We had Dobbs was involved, Iddy was involved, Bailey, Dylan Crow was there as well at right back. We had a really good team then. I'd say a lot of us would say that was probably our favourite year in terms of we were all playing together, we were all happy. And then I went to Lowestoft and Leiston, I think, later on in that year. I think I'd moved past the under-18 stage then. I was kind of as a third-year scholar. I didn't get offered a pro, I got offered a third-year scholar. There wasn't really any space for me to play in the 23s at the time. So they were like, we think the best option is to go out and play some men's football. Which I did, didn't really go too well. I didn't play many games when I went out. I've just found it a bit difficult to be honest going into the men's game. And then I came back and was kind of included with Paul Lambert into the first team.
Yeah, Paul, obviously, you know, with Paul Hurst, he wasn't here too long. Yeah. But Paul Lambert then joins. And did you feel, and I guess it's probably the same with all the players, it was kind of like starting afresh again? I guess the point I'm making about Paul Hurst, it was October 2018. You scored a hat trick against Colchester. I think it was a second half hat trick. You must have been gutted that we still drew the game. But you know, you scored that hat trick, and then less than 2 weeks later, Paul Hurst is sacked, and you know that's kind of written off. You've now got another manager to impress. Was that how it felt for you?
Yeah, obviously we had loads of managers like in that time. It went from Mick McCarthy to Paul Hurst to then Paul Lambert. It was kind of like you're trying to impress a new manager straight away. And then they then get moved on a few months later. So it's kind of like you're back to square one. You have to start all over again, whether that be going to train with the first team or then watching academy games. It was a strange time for the club because you're kind of just getting used to a new manager's way of playing and how they want you to be around the training ground. And then a new manager comes in, and it's like, oh, we have to start all over again sort of thing.
I want to take you to February 2019. I'm not quite sure what the match is. But the under-23s, and I look at the list, and there's Harry Wright, Josh Emmanuel, Barry Cotter, Toto, Bailey Clements, Brett McGavin, Andre, Dobbs, Idris El Mazzouni, Tommy Hughes. And the only person who's still there at the moment is Corey Ndaba. You know, that was only just over three and a half years ago. And at the same time, some of those players, Jack Lancaster, Dobbs and McGavin were signing professional contracts. Did it seem to you that you were playing amongst this group of players that, you know, that they were signing pro contracts, that your time was just around the corner?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, all of them players you mentioned there, I love playing with. We had such a good like, team and squad back then. I was on a third year scholar at the time. So I kind of felt that my next step was to be involved in that group and show that I'm as good as them, if not better than some of them. Rewarded with a pro contract, which eventually did come. Yeah.
Before we get to that, March 2019, I can't skip what I've put that goal for the under-18s away at Birmingham. Can you talk me through it? If people watch it on YouTube, and like I did last night, it's a great goal, but I do hear a lot of wind in the background, Tommy.
I'm sure you've been told to say that. It was just one of them. I think it was 2-2 at the time. I think we played really bad first half away at Birmingham. We were 2-0 down. And we got it back to 2-2. I think Dobbs played, and Dobbs might have scored 2 before me. And yeah, it was a really windy day, and we were kicking downwind the second half. I just got the ball in the middle of the pitch, and I just saw the keeper miles off his line. So I thought, might as well have a shot here. And yeah, it was a little bit of fade on it over the keeper. And yeah, went in the back of the net. And some will say it was fluked by the wind, and I wouldn't have been able to do it in to win, but I'd take it any day.
Yeah, it was a great goal, and was shared on social media, you know, Ipswich Town and stuff like that. How did that feel as an Ipswich born lad to know that a goal that you've scored is being shown to tens and hundreds of thousands of people, I guess?
Yeah, it was good. I'd done a few of them before in training, so to do it in a game was quite nice. And for it to go on social media for everyone to see, it was obviously really good. I felt like I was playing really well at the time. So to get that recognition was, really good.
And then, you know, football's is a cruel sport. Not long after you've scored a wonder goal, then you break your leg at home to Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah. Do you want to talk about that incident and, you know, how you sort of recovered from that and stuff like that?
Yeah, it was just, like you said, Sheffield Wednesday at home, a 23s game, I think it was. Just went in, I had the ball and the guy kind of tackled me from behind, and I kind of felt like a crack straight away. And the physio came on and kind of got my leg moving a bit and got the blood going through it again. And yeah, said I'd be okay to carry on. And I carried on up until just before half time. And I carried on up until half time and came out for the second half. And as I was running down the left, I just felt like another small crack again. And I just knew that I'd done something bad then. So I went straight down again, straight off, had a scan the next day, and yeah, had a fracture fibula.
No, where we? So we're March 19, and you know, I've done some of these interviews and with David McGoldrick, who I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying was somebody that used to see the treatment room a great deal. What was your view of that, you know, from when you broke your leg? Did you, you know, understand, you know, from what KD said and other people I spoke to, that the medical team and all of the technology and the equipment that they use is far better than it was back then? Would you say that was true?
I think it was tough back then. There wasn't obviously the money going into the club that's there now. There wasn't, obviously the facilities are similar in terms of the academy physio room is the same as what it was then. But the equipment wasn't really how it was back then. We just kind of, I went off for a scan obviously, but then coming back to get treatment, it wasn't as good as the facilities we have now anyway.
Obviously that season, Professional League Development South, I think, got into the playoffs against Sheffield United, I think. So that must have been a challenge also for you to kind of be sitting there and thinking, you know, that you could have been involved in, you know, what were some big games for our youth team?
Yeah, obviously in the academy, the goal is to kind of progress into the first team, but as a team, you always want to do well in the Youth Cup and do well in the league. And obviously we got to the playoffs that year. So to not be able to play in that was obviously not very good. I still went and watched the game at Sheffield. I think we lost 1-0 in the end, but yeah, that was disappointing not to be able to play in that. And I feel like we deserved to win something that year. So yeah, that was disappointing.
Coming up to 2019-20, it was September, you had your first game back after injury. So I don't know, I'll work it out, 6 months. That seems quite a quick recovery to me.
Yeah. It was only a small fracture. They initially said I'd be out for 3 months. So I thought like I'd be ready for the new pre-season in sort of July time. But I came in, I think me, Ben Morris and Ben Fulham were all injured that summer. So we were in most days over that summer and my injury just wasn't healing. So I ended up coming back in September. So I kind of missed the players' pre-season. So I kind of done my own pre-season. Got back playing, I think, like you said, in September.
And then it kind of kicked things off, really. It's quite amazing the what happened, you know, from the 5th of October. So you're on loan at Leiston.
Yeah.
And just to cover this bit, that when you're on loan to a you know, if you're an, I guess you can tell me, if you're an academy player and then you're on loan at Leicester, you still can play and train, because obviously we've got professional coaches and professional facilities. So you can still play for either team. Is that right?
Yeah, you can still play because it's just a youth loan. Obviously, their teams are only part-time as well, so they train Tuesday and Thursday evening. So typically, you train on a Monday and a Friday still at Ipswich, and then if you were selected, you could still play games for the club as well, yeah.
So on the 5th of October, you netted your first goal for Leicester, and then 3 days later, you're involved in the EFL Trophy match at home to Gillingham. When did you know that you were going to be involved in that game?
It was the Monday, so it must have been the 7th, the day before the Tuesday. I came in and trained, and Paul Lambert was the manager then. And I was the only one going over to train, so I thought, oh, that's like a bit weird. Like the day before a game, you normally just do like shape stuff. Usually the subs go off and do their own mini games, whatever. And I was involved with the subs doing the mini small-sided games, so I thought, oh, someone must be injured. Like, I don't even think he knew at the time I was on loan at Leicester. So he didn't even know that I'd played the game on the Saturday. But anyway, I trained really well that day. And he came up to me after and said, you're going to be involved tomorrow. And I was thinking, like, involved with what? Like training again? And it clocked that, oh, they've got a game tomorrow. Because I was so like focused on playing for Leicester. And I think they might have even had a game on that Tuesday. He was like, oh, no, you're going to come and be involved with us on the bench. So I was like, oh, wow, like, I didn't expect this. Like, I was playing for Leicester on the Saturday, and then the Monday morning I find out I'm going to be on the bench against Gillingham on the Tuesday night. So, yeah, that's how I found out.
What did it feel like? So the 80th minute, the board comes up. James Wilson, I think you come on as a sub four. What was that moment? What did it feel like for you and for your family as Ipswich fans?
Yeah, all my family were there. Like I said, we're from Ipswich, so all my family were there as like fans, as they always are, to be fair. He called me back from the bench and said, you're going to come on as a holding midfielder. And I kind of looked at him probably funny and thought, well, that's not my position. But yeah, I'll come on and play there. And he said, spoke to me after the game and said that that's the position he felt like I would come on best in the game, just to kind of get on the ball. And he said, just go and do what you've done the day before in training. So I just went on, got on the ball, ran around as much as I could, and yeah, enjoyed the 10-15 minutes I was on for.
And then the next day, KD's picked you to play for the under-23s at home to Bolton.
Yeah, I got straight after the game on the night, I got home about 10 o'clock, and I think I had a call from him saying, you're right to play tomorrow, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, I was so like full of adrenaline. I was like, yeah, I'll come and play. So I think I ended up playing 60 minutes against Bolton the next day. Yeah.
I think also you're being really polite because you haven't mentioned the 40-yarder that you scored in that game as well.
Yeah, I scored another good goal that game. I think that was better than the Birmingham one, in my opinion. It was a good touch around the defender, and then, yeah, I chipped the keeper from the halfway line again, yeah.
Is that where you got the nickname Tommy Dyer?
Oh, I knew that would come up. I think it was before that, you know, but that kind of cemented it. All the boys in the youth team, like Eddie Dobbs, we all got on really well with Kieran. And I used to get called his son quite a lot because he favoured me, apparently. But yeah, Tommy Dyer is one that's been with me for a few years now.
We'll cover the next couple of games in a minute. Was KD, obviously, I think, you know, you tweeted the period that you were out that, you know, KD was a good mentor. Obviously, himself as a young player, had his own injuries and stuff like that. You know, what did he do to support you around that time?
Yeah, obviously, before I got injured, we had a good relationship. Like, he liked me as a player on the pitch. And we had a good relationship from being, like, training and stuff anyway. So when I got injured, he was kind of, like you said, he had his own injury problems in his career. So just to know that I could speak to someone, even have to be speaking about football or injuries, we could literally just speak about anything. I'd always be in with him and Adam, just chatting away, asking how training was, how the games were. So I think just to kind of have that figure there, almost like a father figure in football sort of thing, just to be able to go and speak to him whenever I wanted to, was a big help and got me through it a lot, to be fair.
So like you say that, you know, some people used to say that you were his son. Did you kind of used to do that bit of embarrassing bit when him as your dad would suddenly take over in training and kind of try and show people what was going on?
He loved joining in training, I tell you that. I think he had a good story when Adam came on and done his podcast, but I just always, I'll never forget the day where he joined in training and just got so angry because his team were losing. I think he just ended up storming in and driving off in his car. I think he came back later in that afternoon and apologized for everyone. But that was, I think that was a really good example to everyone that that's the level that you've got to get to. Obviously, he played for England, played in the Prem. That's the level you've got to get to, even if it's just a training, small-sided game. But the hunger to win was, yeah, very good.
Obviously, you made an impact on Paul Lambert. So the next round, you were involved again in the EFL Trophy away to Colchester, coming on as a sub for Liam Gibbs. You lost 1-0. We lost 1-0 in that game. There's a couple of things I want to ask you about. Do you remember much about that game? Bit more of a local derby, I guess, than Gillingham. And
I think they won 1-0, like you said. They scored a clearance that kind of lobbed the keeper. I think it must have been Thomas Holy in goal at the time. So that was a bit lucky. But yeah, I remember we played quite well that game. And yeah, I think me and Tawanda both came on in about the 85th minute. I think Tawanda was the second youngest player or something to be involved in that game. So we came on for the last 5 minutes.
Great stat knowledge there. I like that. Obviously, you came on as a sub for... Well, first of all, I'm going to correct myself. Ipswich versus Colchester is not a local derby. I just meant local games before Colchester fans jump on that. You came on as a sub for Liam Gibbs, who obviously now is playing north of the border in for Norwich City. Do you keep in touch with him and how, you know, his progress in the Championship?
I haven't spoken to him since he's joined. Obviously, I wished him well when he left. I think he was a couple of years younger than me, so we wasn't involved much with each other off the pitch. But I think as soon as we got on the pitch and played and trained together, sometimes you just have that click with someone straight away. And I've had that with a few players, but I definitely had it with Gibbo when we were training and stuff, linking up. He was more of a number 10 in his Ipswich days. Obviously, he's gone a bit deeper for Norwich now. But yeah, you could tell from a young kid he was a very good footballer.
Your first involvement in the FA Cup, away to Lincoln. You came on as a 90th minute sub, and some people might dismiss this appearance, but it was 0-0 at the time, and we won the game 1-0. I just wonder what involvement you had, what Paul Lambert said to you and stuff before you came on.
Yeah, I came on for, I think, Andre in about the 92nd minute, and obviously the game was 0-0 at the time, so instead of going to a replay, it would have gone straight to extra time. And the plan was, yeah, he said, go on, get involved for the next few minutes and then be ready, like warmed up basically for extra time. I thought, oh, brilliant. Like I'm going to get an extra half an hour here. And then the possibility of it going to penalties, was really exciting. And I came on, I ran straight on the pitch. We had a throw-in on the far side. I got one touch. I think Miles threw it to me. I said it back to him. And I think either he crossed it or maybe Eddie crossed it from the left. And I think it was Alan Judge that scored, I think. Yeah. He scored, so he won in the 94th minute. And I was buzzing. Everyone ran over to the fans and was celebrating. And then as we were walking back, I was thinking, I'm never going to get that half an hour to play the extra time now. But yeah, that feeling of running over to the fans and celebrating last minute FA Cup winner was one that I'll never forget.
Fantastic. I want to bring it to March 2020. We all know what happened sort of with the first team and stuff, but what impact did COVID and the lockdown have on, you know, the development of the academy and stuff?
Everyone was obviously not allowed to go to the training ground, and everyone kind of went home and we got set a plan to train on our own. And we were just running over the park. I was just running over the park every day doing football work as well, like against the wall. It wasn't a great time to be a footballer, to be honest. Obviously, all we want to do is play and train, and to not even be able to go into the training ground and do what we do every day was tough. But we had to make sure we stayed fit because nobody knew how long we were going to be away from the club for.
I'm guessing you returned to the club in some way or another in June to sign your first professional contract.
Yeah, I think COVID restrictions had they were still in place, but kind of a bit less strict now. So I went into the club, signed my first professional contract. I think I signed a year with an option. We done that in June.
Fantastic. So go to 2020-21. So pre-season starts, and you're sidelined with a hip injury, I think, which has kind of dog you the most of that season. Yeah. The under 23s, you get a call up in November, KD's left, the under-18s. He's now come back as the under-23 manager, and he picks you. And in a sort of dream return, you come off the bench and score against Coventry. What did that moment feel for you? Did you think that you were back on track?
Yeah, so it was my first hip injury was literally 3 weeks after we came back from COVID. So I think it was beginning of August. My first tore my hip flexor. We just thought it was like a 6 week tear, be out, and then I'd come back. So I'd done about 3 or 4 weeks of rehab outside before I was ready to play in the first game. So to finally get back, I think I came on as a halftime sub, or maybe I came on after 60 minutes. I came on for half an hour, I think. So just to finally get back on the pitch, I thought, here we go. Like, I'm back now. I've had my 6 weeks out, back, get my first game under my belt, and then I'll be flying again. And yeah, it was a good game while I came back. But obviously, that didn't last long. And the next week, I re-injured the same injury again.
Then in February 2021, Paul Lambert was sacked. I think it's fair to say that a number of Ipswich fans don't have a very good view about Paul Lambert. But interested in your view. I mean, he gave you your debut and trusted you. You know, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, like, I'm a fan as well. So obviously, I read the stuff that the fans say, and I think it's a bit misconceived. For me personally, all I can say is good things about him. Like, he took me up with the first team. He got me involved straight away. He gave me my debut. He made me in and around it for the EFL Cup games, and obviously gave me my FA Cup debut as well. So that, from kind of August to January, I was kind of involved with the first team more than I'd ever been. And that was, yeah, all down to him, really. And he trusted me to come up and train most days and play in the games as well. So, yeah, I'll forever be grateful for him giving
good
me
stuff.
That chance.
Paul Cook then joins, and then obviously we've got the takeover, the club takeover from Game Changer. But it was a little bit of a hectic time. You know, there was the bomb squad. There was talks that Paul Cook was standing in the academy canteen or training ground and telling basically everybody that, you know, if you know, you're basically not my players and I'm kind of going to get rid of them. Now, I know obviously that you were kind of still out with injury, but Flynn, Caden Jackson, and Teddy Bishop and Miles Kenlock were sort of in the bomb squad and then training with the young team. And what was the mood like?
I mean, it wasn't a great mood. Obviously, all they wanted to do was be involved in the first team and play. I just think the manager made the decision that they wasn't going to be part of the team. And I think because it was four or five of them at once, it was kind of made a lot bigger than it was. Like, I think that happens quite a lot of football clubs where the manager doesn't want a player involved and they kind of drop down to training until they kind of get a move away. But I think the fact that there was five or six of them involved in that at the same time, it might have been a positive for them as well, to be fair, that there was five or six of them all going through the same thing. They could speak about it between themselves. And to be fair, from what I know, obviously I was injured at the time, so I wasn't training, but I think their attitude and application in training was as if they were just trying to get a move. So they were just doing everything they could to stay as fit as they could. So, yeah.
The start of 2021, Brett McGavin goes off to King's Lynn on loan. Corrie Ndarbour's off to Salford, I think. Dobbs goes to Colchester. Obviously, you're out injured at that point. And yeah. I guess in one way, you're wishing them the best of luck, but I guess a little bit envious that you're not getting any game time yourself.
Yeah, I feel like when them three went on loan, especially that I was kind of in and around their age, Dobbs obviously the same age, Corey and Brett a year older, but I kind of felt that was the time to go out, get the experience. And obviously me being sat in the physio room, I wasn't able to do that. So obviously I was wishing them all the best, but yeah, like you said, envious. But I wasn't in that situation and able to go and do that.
In November, you came on for the under-23s as a sub, and you know, to get a few minutes there, but then it again comes back to the point that I was saying before, that you know, suddenly Paul Cook is sacked, and you're trying to find, you know, an opportunity to impress the manager, and Kieran McKenna takes over, and you kind of start again. In January of that year, you make your first start for almost 2 years,
yeah.
And it's a dream return. You know, a hat trick and an assist against QPR. Yeah. I mean, you must have really thought that, you know, you've got the injuries that you've had before, you know, behind, and you're hitting the form that you'd showed previously.
Yeah, I think mentally that was a really big day for me to not only know that I could get through the game, but to know that I could still play at the level that I was at before. After all the hard work and effort I put in through the, like I think it was 18 months before I'd last played a game, but 2 years I'd been out for, just to know that I could come back and still play at the level that I wanted to be at. Yeah, that was a really good day for me.
And interestingly, you suddenly Andre Dizel was an opponent instead of a teammate.
Yeah, I heard news in the morning that he was going to be playing. So I just texted him straight away saying, like, are you playing the game today? And yeah, I think he'd been ill. He'd had COVID or something. So he was going to be playing the next championship game for them. So just needed some minutes. And it was just a coincidence. I think that it was at Ipswich at the training ground. Jason was there watching as well. So nice to see him. But yeah, just a pure coincidence that he was playing the same game.
How were the club managing you then at this point for your rehabilitation? Because obviously in January, Bailey Clements and Ben Morris and Matt Healy also go out on loan. You know, what was the club's view about what they thought was the best plan for you?
Yeah, I had a lot of chats with different coaches, different people at the club, obviously the medical team and football coaches as well. The main thing for me was just to be able to train as many days in the week without breaking down again. And luckily for me, I don't think I missed one session between January and the end of the season. Obviously, matches was a little bit different. I think I played Cardiff. Was the first game back after that. And I played half an hour in that. And I was just kind of building up my match minutes to half an hour, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, and then building up towards 90 minutes. But I think training was a big one where I wasn't breaking down in training. So I knew that physically I was ready to go into games and, yeah, play at a good level.
In May, you signed a six-month contract, which, you know, was positive for you. At the same time, Bailey Clements and Brett McGavin, Levi Ando, Dylan Crowe, Ross Crane, Bello, they were all told that they were released. How was the six-month contract sold to you? You know, what was the club's expectations during that time on the basis that a lot of your teammates had all been released?
Yeah, I think, at the end of the season, I went for a meeting at the stadium. I think Gary Probert had just been appointed, so he might have been in it. Maybe Leo Neal as well. I'm not too sure who was in it, but I got offered a six-month contract. And originally I was like, I'd rather have like the whole season. But then obviously I'd heard the news that a lot of the other boys had been released. So I was still grateful to be part of the club. But I think the six-month contract is probably a good thing for me just to kind of have a full pre-season, play as many games as I could, stay kind of match fit and just prove that I can stay fit. Which luckily enough I've been able to do since.
During that summer, there was leading up to the summer, the Tyrese Simpson situation. You know, he's come back, he's not playing, and fans kind of want to see him and stuff like that. How does it feel for you as a young pro to read some of the abuse and the comments that Tyrese got because he just didn't sign a contract?
Yeah, because I knew Tyrese's situation, obviously knew him personally as well and was like almost not involved in the situation like directly, but knew what was going on. It wasn't great to read some of the stuff that people were saying. Obviously, they don't know the full story, but all I know is the boy just wanted to play football and just play at the highest level possible. Every time I trained with him and played with him, he'd always give 100%. So I could never say any issue about his attitude or anything like that. I think it just came down to he wanted to play football and, yeah, that was it.
Good stuff. Now, Kieran McKenna spoke kindly of you in the summer. He said you were a great kid, great footballer, and he was looking at a pathway for you. Norse spoke really highly of you as well as a player. So, you know, things seem to be positive. New managers coming in and you go out on loan to Torquay United. How did that all come about? Who managed that move as such?
So I'd done pre-season with the first team. I'd been involved with them the whole of pre-season. We went to Loughborough. I'd been involved in quite a few of the games as well. And then obviously the season came around in August time. And I knew that I wasn't going to be involved in the games then. So I knew that the pathway, I spoke to Gary Probert a lot. I knew the pathway that the plan for me then, sorry, was to go out on loan. And nothing had really come up. Like, I think my clips had been sent to quite a lot of League Two teams, National League teams, Scottish teams. But the season had just started, so teams weren't really looking to bring in new players. And then one day I got a call from my agent saying that Torquay are interested in taking you down there. That was on a Tuesday, I think. And on the Thursday, I was on my way down to Torquay. I knew a few of the boys down there. Obviously, Brett was down there. Dylan was down there. Ross Marshall as well. So I'd spoken to them and they said that it would be a good opportunity to go down there and play some games. So that's where I went to.
So what happened? So I went on to Soccer Base or whatever to look at. And on the 13th, you came on as a second half sub away to Halifax. On the 16th of August, you started away to Bromley and played the hour. But less than 3 weeks later, the loan has ended.
Yeah, I started the first game, like I said, against Bromley, and I wasn't included in the squads again after that. I played as a striker in the game. As a lot of people know, like, I'm not a striker. I'm not like a guy who's going to win headers and stuff. So I didn't have my best game, but I wouldn't say I had my worst game ever anyway. But anyway, the manager spoke to me the week after and said that he was going to take me out of the team and like leave me out of the squad. So I was obviously annoyed at that, but kind of understood that I'd only just kind of turned up and was going to have to earn his trust and just have to play. And then the same thing happened again the week after and the week after that. So that was, I think, 4 games I was left out of the squad for, and like I wasn't doing anything bad in training, like I was training normally. So I just went and had a chat with him, the Torquay manager that is, and just said, like, I want to be here. Like, I've committed to coming down here. Like, what can I do to get in the team? How can I improve? How can I get better? And I think his decision was kind of already made up that I wasn't going to be part of the team. So he said that he would speak to me and kind of arrange for me to go back there and see what else I could come up with this for the rest of the season.
Was Gary Johnson the manager?
Yeah.
Wow. Say no more. So you return to the under-23s and it's different. You've got John McGrill now as the under-23 manager. So what happened between the 5th of September and New Year's Day? How many games did you play? And, you know, at what point does someone say to you, Tommy, we're not going to offer you another contract?
So originally the plan when I came back from Torquay was to then go out on loan again. But when I got back, we discovered that I wasn't able to do that because I'd already been on one loan. I'd have to wait to the next transfer window to then go on another loan because of my age. From the 5th of September to New Year's Day, I think I played 1-23s game at Charlton. I played 90 minutes there. Other than that, I wasn't included in any of the games. I had a chat with a few of the coaches there and kind of said, like, would I be able to be involved in some games here and there? And the discussion was kind of, yeah, you can be involved like when you want. But in the end, I just ended up training every day without being involved in any of the games, which is obviously difficult because as a footballer, all you want to do is play games. So I just kind of felt like I was not training for no reason, but training without a purpose at the end of the week. I was again included back in with the first team, like training with them a few days a week. Training without playing games is obviously difficult.
What was it like in the first team? Obviously with Kieran McKenna, different intensity was it to what you've been used to before?
Yeah, the pre-season that I had, where we went to Loughborough, and that I've never felt so fit, and like the intensity of sessions, and the detail of like tactical and yeah, everything about the sessions is just brilliant. The intensity is just another level. Yeah.
Some great players that you've been playing with as well. So I guess at some point you're not really being involved with, you know, with the games and stuff like that, that probably at some point you realised that you weren't going to be offered a new contract. So, you know, the Kings Lynn deal seems to have come about quite quickly. So, you know, when was that suddenly appearing on your radar that other clubs would be interested to take you on?
I think it was I kind of expected not to be offered a new deal. Kind of October, November time, I had discussions with people internally at the club. So I think the plan then was for me to kind of, they said that I was free to kind of go out and train with different clubs. Middle of November, I went and trained with a club in League Two, trained there for the week, had a friendly game with them, which was really good. And then Kings Lynn came about the start of December. They said that they wanted to kind of have a look at me training. So I trained with them, been training with them for the past 3 weeks. Yeah, just recently signed a deal at the start of January.
And obviously that, you know, we mentioned that they had Brett McGavin on loan and Elkan as well So a club that's kind of familiar with dealing with, you know, young players from Ipswich and stuff like that. What's your plan for the rest of this season, and what do you plan to do, from beyond that?
The plan for me is I just need to play as many men's senior games as I can. I think we've got 26 games left at King's Lynn now. So we've got 7 in January, 7 again in February. So the plan is I just want to play as many games and be involved in as many games as possible. Good chance of getting promoted this year as well. So that would be good to go on the CV to get a promotion. And then, yeah, just want to play as high as I can, really. That's the aim. And yeah.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. I can't let you go before a couple of questions, because obviously, you know, being born in Ipswich and, you know, being an Ipswich fan, what position are Town going to finish this season?
With a good transfer window, do you know what? I'm going to be a fan and I'm going to say top, number one.
Well, it's good. We've got that on camera, so we'll play that back. Yeah. And the second question someone's asked me is Cameron Humphreys the second best midfielder at the club?
I wonder who asked that. Cam, oh, what a player he is. Honestly, the guy is just ridiculous. Like, he can do everything. Like, I call him a little rat, but he just runs around the pitch, just doesn't stop the whole game. Technically brilliant. Obviously, a lovely left foot, as you've seen already. Came on the other day as a number 10 as well, so he can't just play as a holding midfielder, play different positions. Yeah, great kid, great player, very good.
Thanks very much for coming on, Tommy. It's been a great story. 14 years, didn't even get a testimonial, but, you know, wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season at King's Lynn, and look out for them getting promoted. So, yeah, take care and the best of luck.
Top man, thank you very much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.